From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. You know how they say necessity is the mother of invention? Well, that's kind of how it worked for the Provo-based band Polytype. One of the reasons they settled into doing electronic music was it was hard to find the right drummer. So they made their own beats and they programmed it into the music they were making, which just happened to be electronic music. It wasn't anyone's specialty, really. It was just the sound that resulted when they got together to play. As band member Mason Porter told us, we don't try to sound like we sound. Today in the program, we continue our local music series with another band from the Provo music scene. Polytype will join us to talk about their sound and to play it live. So join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're continuing our series on local music, and we're featuring another band from the Provo music scene, but this may be a sound new to the Utah Valley wave of local music. Polytype is with us today. They've been described as electronic indie music, which I guess means synthesizers and effect processors, but also, you know, the standard rock components like guitar and bass. And many of their songs, in fact, started on an acoustic guitar. So it's music that has colors and shapes and elusive images, and they've just released a new album. In fact, it's their first album. Today in the program, Polytype is joining us, and we invite you to join us if you like. If you have a comment or a question, 801-585-WEST is the number, or you can just settle in and listen. Polytype is our Mason Porter on lead vocals and samplers, and Mason, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us. Jason Gibby on synthesizer and samplers. Jason, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Jared Price on bass, guitar, and synths. Jared, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Scott Haslam on guitar. Scott, welcome to you. Thanks very much for being with us. Their debut album is called Basic Complex. They released just at the beginning of this month. You can stream the full album online and find out how to buy it. And we've got those links to our website, radiowest.kuer.org. They don't have any concerts in the works. I guess they have a few in the works, but nothing we can say just yet, right?
Yeah. Right.
Great. Okay, so, well, let me ask you this first. I was interested in how your music has come to be electronic music, which I think is kind of interesting. Mason, let me start with you. Do you remember when you guys first played together, like one of the first times you started playing together? Do you guys remember
first
it?
First time that we started playing, I guess, with electronic music, it was just me, Scott, and Jared, and we didn't have a drummer, and so that's why we wanted to, obviously you needed to have some percussion, so we just had a computer, and we were like, okay, let's sequence some beats, but we weren't any good at it, so then we found Jason, who's, you know, he's the beat guy, so.
He's a wizard.
He's a wizard. But what was it like? I mean, what was this, like, when you first started playing, what did it sound like? What were you doing?
It sounded a lot different. Well, we were learning how to play this kind of music, and we didn't even know what kind of music we really wanted to play to begin with. We just knew we didn't want to do something that was, like, folk music, because there's a lot of folk bands in Provo, and we like, there's some really good ones, and I like them, but I just wanted to do something that would stick out a bit.
So, how do you describe what it is that you do? I mean, I'm seeing a lot of electronics in here, and I've heard electronic. How do you describe it?
We just push buttons, really. Just pushing a lot of – it's just a lot of buttons, and we're pushing them. But, no, it's definitely – I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we're doing in the computer in Ableton that Jason does. But, you know, we all kind of grew up playing guitars and – keyboards and things like that, so we kind of took what we knew and then mixed it with something we really didn't know, and I think that's kind of how it came to be.
At some point in the process, it started to take kind of shape, and you've talked about how it wasn't exactly the focus, but it seems to have been the result of when you got together and played. It's where you kind of naturally went. So is it fair to say that kind of your identity is kind of part of your collaboration? Does that make sense?
I would say very much so. When we first set out to make the album, we all knew that we wanted to make something that was very much the combined effort of all four of us.
Yeah.
And so it was hard, and it took a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of internal strife, I guess, to find a point where we are comfortable in not only our roles but also with working together.
Yeah.
And so, but I think that, you know, we worked through that, and we had this goal of making something that was part of all of us, and I think it happened. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I feel like there's a lot of all of us on this album.
Yeah, I feel like it's a completely collaborative effort, for sure.
Because a lot of the times, you know, you have one singer-songwriter who has the kind of image, you know, and vision for everything else, and everyone kind of builds around that, but it wasn't necessary. I mean, I know that some of you write the lyrics, but you're not just built around one person's vision, one person's kind of personal idea.
Yeah, it's really different because me and Jason and Jared were in a band before, and I think that band was mostly like, these are my songs, and they're kind of just adding on to them. That's what I felt like it was. And this is completely different because sometimes these guys will write a song, I won't even be there, and then they'll show me what they did, and I'll kind of put a melody to it. And so it's, you know, there's different people writing different parts of songs, and it's truly collaborative, I think.
Your influences, I've heard you guys describe Radiohead as a big influence. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, and I think that's right for like 90% of bands in the world. Probably.
It's so true.
I don't think it sets us apart at all.
Yeah. I think really where Radiohead sticks out is it's kind of a something we all share in common. A lot of us come from different musical roots, but I think Radiohead is where we all kind of feel like we've shared that interest.
Yeah, but we never sat down. Oh, were you saying something, Gib? Oh, we never sat down and said, we want to make a band that sounds like Radiohead.
No.
It was just...
Well, it's not really that you even sound like it, because, I mean, I've heard that somebody plays jazz. Who does jazz?
So, yeah, I grew up playing jazz, like, ever since junior high. And I was a jazz snob for a long time, actually. That's, like, all I listened to, so...
I'd show him some music, and he just wouldn't dig it.
Forget it.
But it's fun to be in different kinds of music now, so...
Does it make sense now and for your form? Like, does it? Does
yeah,
it-
and I'm actually really grateful for my jazz background because, you know, you learn a lot of improv techniques and things like that. And so when we're writing, it's helped a lot. So I'm actually really grateful for it.
Yeah. I want to ask you about a song called Needs from the album. I want to have you guys play it. But and we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go along. But there's... I want to ask about the images. I guess the images is the way to put it, because these are like impressions in terms of the lyrics, right?
Exactly.
Is that it? I mean, rather than real scenes, these are just sort of like they're dreamlike. They're images that aren't entirely clear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. I think when we were writing the lyrics, we wanted to go for lyrics that were more evocative of things instead of demonstrative.
Yeah.
And kind of... allow people to place their own experiences and feelings upon these songs, you know, kind of have them remind people of different places. But I don't know. I don't think we're necessarily – we had definite feelings that we wanted people to feel when they listen to these songs.
Yeah.
But almost in kind of a deja vu sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, dreamlike, as you said. So very vague, and I don't know, we wanted people to be able to ascribe their own meaning to the words.
Yeah. What was the first thing that started with Needs? Did it come with? Was it an image? Was it a melody? I'm guessing it works in all kinds of ways for you guys.
Needs is kind of a funny song. Needs was the first song that the four of us recorded together. What was it, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
We just demoed it in Scott's basement, and it was radically different from the form it is in now. And I think watching this song grow has kind of been a good reference point for where the band grows, but it started with Mason's chorus is you know, just "It's You I Need," and that melody just stuck with it, and everything else changed around it. And
yeah, it seems like that's the thing that it's built around, is "It's You I Need," and then the other imagery is kind of built around it.
Yeah, I actually wrote different lyrics for the song the first time around, and I didn't like the verses. I only liked the chorus, and so I asked Jared to take a crack at it and kind of keep the chorus and write what he thought would fit around it. So.
Right. Great. Well, here it is, Polytype, from their new debut album, Basic Complex, a song called Needs.
Out of my head, I'm lost in a dream, a colorless place, I'm alone. But I'm free. Cold.
song called Needs from Polytype. Polytype is Mason Porter, Jason Gibby, Jared Price, and Scott Haslam. They have some upcoming live shows in the works, and in the meantime, you can go online to listen to their full debut album. It's called Basic Complex. We have links to it on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We'll take a brief break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we continue our series on local music with Polytype. It is another band from the Provo music scene, but different in a lot of ways. Polytype is live in the studio to play from their critically acclaimed new and first album. Polytype is Mason Porter and Jason Gibby and Jared Price and Scott Haslam. We'll give you details, by the way, about that album. You can go to our website for that, radiowest.kuer.org. So I read a review of the album, of your music, and in one of them it said that your band invites the listener into a different dimension, which I kind of figured is about right. Like, you're thinking about some of the lyrics, some of the imagery is on, and it's like in that place between full consciousness and full-on dream or whatever, in this kind of weird dimension. Is that right? Is that about right?
Yeah, I feel like that's right. When I give the album to people when they buy it, I usually tell them to listen to it at night and with some nice headphones in a quiet room, just so that I think that's the best. That's where it's supposed to be listened to for me, kind of like on a drive by yourself or something like that. It's in that kind of place. So
there's this it seems like the Basic Complex, which I'm going to have you play next. And it's the title to the album, of course. It's like all of the thematic album elements of the album are in this song, it seems like. Unseen colors, inexpressible sound, unknown images, voices buried in the ground, archaic etches in the clay. Seems like they're all here in this piece. And I'm wondering, what's the deal with colors? Because I see that a lot, too.
Oh, colors. I think we take a lot of inspiration from visual arts and things, and that was something that we wanted to put in the album as well.
I also think fundamentally, like, electronic music isn't necessarily always escapism music, but it, because of the foreign sounds and things, it takes you to more abstract places than a singer-songwriter would or something, and I think colors and shapes and that sort of imagery really suits electronic music.
It's like a poem.
Somewhere. I think this song is kind of unique as well. I think that part of the reason, at least for me, why it became the title track is because the music that we were doing prior to Jason actually sending us the skeleton of this song was a lot different. And I think this really took us down the path that we ended up on. And we basically, after this song, either rewrote all of our other songs that we had prepared for the album or wrote new ones. And so for me, that's the biggest aspect about Basic Complex as being the title track.
What does he mean, Jason? What was the structure that you were sending out?
Well, I was just, I don't know. This song just started with me messing around on the computer, and I think it was a bit more abstract than the previous songs, like less singer-songwriter elements, because I don't know how to do that. and so I think when I sent that to him and they liked it, we kind of wanted to go more in that direction of creating, you know, a very lucid experience with the songs.
Yeah. Well, here it is, the title track from the album Basic Complex. This is Polytype. Thank you. Is Polytype Basic Complex. That's the name of the album, which just came out at the beginning of this month. So when you were first approached to do an album, you had, I guess, as I understand, you had like four songs.
Yeah. We had four songs and we didn't really like any of them.
So did you think you had enough to, I mean, let alone make an album, but did you think you had enough stuff or that you were enough of a thing to even be a band at that point? Does that make sense?
I had serious doubts.
I think we all did at the beginning, yeah. We had some tumultuous times, I'll say.
We were kind of at a crossroads, too, because we played a show with The Moth and the Flame when they released their album.
Yeah.
And after the show, Nate Pfeiffer, their producer, came and told us he would be interested in doing a record with us. And so we told him we'd think about it, and like over that week, because we were kind of wondering if we were even going to keep doing music at all together, because we didn't. We hadn't written a new song in like 5 months. We'd been playing the same four song set forever. So we decided that we wanted to do it because we wanted to, this, we thought this would be a good path. Obviously we want to do music for a career. And so we thought, well, if we make a legitimate album, then that's a good start.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah,
so your progress had just sort of stopped. You were just kind of,
yeah,
in the water. For
I think we were just naive. We didn't understand like how much work and resources it took. Like, we thought, pay a couple $100 to some guy with a studio in his garage and we'll hand it out to our friends. But, and so I think we weren't prepared for that. Once we were able to realize it, and Nate Pfeiffer, he helped us tons with realizing it and understanding all it took and motivating us, and he pushed us along the way. And once he got us going, kind of got the ball rolling for us, saying, okay, this is what we want to do with our lives.
And that's part of the awesome thing about the Provo music scene, too, is that there were so many people saying, you guys can do this, and that made us believe that we could do it, too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Scott, you told the City Weekly that almost every part of the album was like going through a cleansing process.
Yeah. It was just crazy going from where we started to where we are, because I mean, we started out with, I mean, the most barren, you know, as far as equipment goes. I mean, you know, just the cheap gear, you know, the hardware stuff. And then we've kind of advanced quite a bit over the past year into what we have now, and it's been pretty wild just kind of how much we've learned in such a short amount of time, as far as just learning the different synths and the different things. I mean, I remember when we first started, Jared, all he had was his bass guitar, and we would always tease him about that, you know, because he didn't have anything. And now the guy is just stacked with about more than he can control.
Of months of harassment from these guys.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I overcompensated and bought everything I could get my hands on.
Where did Cyclone come from?
I wrote, well, the lyrics for the song, I was kind of toying with the idea. I had heard a band, I can't remember which band it was, but they had said something about their new record was a lot like their last record, and they wanted it to be that way. They said, this is what we do, we like what we do, and we're not going to try and, like, progress at all.
Yeah.
And so the idea behind all the lyrics is kind of, that's the opposite of my frame of mind. I always want to do something different. Even when, as soon as we finish this album, we're already looking on to what else we can do that'll sound a little different, a little darker, a little, you know, just to keep progressing. And that's what Cyclone's about. The name came from just the sounds at the end, just kind of are like a whirlwind. But
yeah. So there's a lyric that says, when part of me dies, another part of me begins. That's it, right?
Yeah, that's totally it. Like, and I was thinking more about music, and I was kind of just looking back at all the different styles of music I've gotten into and then moved on from. And that's just kind of that idea that I'll always do music, but I don't know what my music's going to sound like in 5 years. So.
Do you figure, who knows, but do you figure you'll always do electronic music?
I don't know. We kind of joke with each other all the time about that, actually.
That's what I love, though, is and I think Mason's especially good at this, is he's always looking forward on like what we can do next. And, yeah, just trying to push the limits. So it doesn't matter if it's electronic as long as it's something new for us.
Yeah. Well, here's the song Cyclone from the band Polytype. Their album is Basic Complex. Polytype, Cyclone. So we here at Radio West, we've been sort of trying to figure out what it is about the Provo music scene that works, because it seems to be really working. And I wonder if you guys, and you've talked to, and I know you're going to say, oh, they're really supportive, blah, 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 blah. But I'm trying to get at a sense of if there's something else beyond it. And one of the common characteristics, let's be honest, is faith. Does that have anything to do with it? The fact that that there's a kind of an LDS perspective in some way, whatever, however it bears on the way you make music. But I have to say, it's also true for filmmakers, for designers, for all kinds of people. They have there's a element of creativity that's really extraordinary. And I wonder if that has anything to do with faith, or if you can even explain if it has that connection.
Well, I think more the networking aspect, possibly. I mean, I met Mason in church.
Yeah. Is that right?
So I guess in a direct response, yeah.
I think also you could argue that, though, because in the LDS faith, you know, part of it is feeling like you have something, you know, you're, lots of people feel like they kind of have a sort of calling in their life that they're supposed to do.
Right.
And I think that drives a lot of people, you know. I think that's an extra boost for some people.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought about it much. And I know that a lot of my friends, like, we're all, a lot of my friends in the Provo music scene aren't members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're practicing to varying degrees.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's definitely not something, like, anybody thinks about too much.
No.
But I think there might be a way, something about the way parents raise kids in the LDS church, I don't know, like telling them that they're really good at stuff or something. Yeah. Or saying you're talented, like God gave you gifts, you need to share them or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I wonder, it's probably a weird sort of line that you have to sort of balance, because on one hand, for a lot of people, and as you said, not everyone in the Provo music scene is a Mormon. I don't want to imply that. But then it's also dicey if you're branded a Mormon band,
yeah,
like
exactly.
You know, like you're somehow Christian rock or something like that, which I'm guessing you don't want to be associated with for whatever reason. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's a weird balance to sort of
and
find.
We like even though we practice I'm a Mormon, so even though I'm a Mormon, I don't want people to think of our music as Mormon music or anything. I don't want people to limit. Like, I don't want people to be turned off or even just to listen just because I'm Mormon.
Yeah.
I want them to listen because they like the music.
Well, and genuinely, like, I don't think – I mean, obviously, maybe our upbringings adds in factors, but I don't feel like any of this we've done thus far has been some sort of faith-based thing. You know, it's because we want to make music.
Yeah.
I think the LDS Church's role in any of this could be that Utah County has a higher population of LDS people. And I mean, we grow up singing every Sunday, playing, you know, they need piano players. They need this. And I think it's very, the LDS community is very musically driven group of people.
You better learn to play the piano because you'll need it on your mission. I hear that all the time, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I want to talk about I'll shift gears now, but Gunmetal, this song. This was a song, as I understand it, was written sort of in the final weeks of the album process.
Yeah.
Like on a deadline? Is that something?
Pretty much. Nate, our producer, Nate Pfeiffer, he actually told us, he's like, this is going to be a great story one day. Because we had two songs that we had originally written for the album that just weren't, they didn't fit anymore after we had changed so many things. Like Scott said, that cleansing process. We had changed so many of the other songs that these two songs were just kind of outliers. And so Nate just told us, hey, we want to have these into mix in 2 weeks, so you guys just do something. Worst case scenario is we'll have those other two songs on the album that don't really fit. Best case scenario is you'll have two songs that you really like. And I really like the two songs that we came up with in that time.
Refract was one of them, right?
Yeah, Refract. Yeah.
Which we'll get to. That was my favorite.
Awesome.
And I know a lot of people relate to it. I loved it. That was great. But we'll work our way toward that. But Gunmetal, it's interesting because it's almost like the odd man out, at least for me, when I was listening to the album. And there was I want to ask about the lyric a little bit. I know you don't want to be too literal about this, but I tend to be sometimes, so forgive me. But
that's great.
Like this idea where you say, we are too wild to hear. We are too wild to come home. I get a sense that it's built around this idea of home. Is that fair to say, or is that?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's funny that we're playing Gunmetal after that last question, because I feel for me, you know, I don't want to go too into detail because I wanted to leave it open for interpretation, but this song was based around my personal church experiences. And so, I don't know, the concept of home keeps popping up, you know, throughout the album. You know, there's a lot of change in moving forward, and then also a lot of looking back and kind of regretting the point you're in.
Yeah.
And I feel this is kind of a song for someone who finds himself in a different place than they expected to be.
Yeah.
And is kind of not necessarily lamenting that fact, but just kind of trying to reconcile that with themselves.
Yeah. I felt that way about Familiar Skin.
Yeah,
that's kind a
common
of sensibility
theme,
there too, which we'll get to, I'm hoping, anyway. But let's do Gunmetal. This is Polytype. Mason Porter, Jason Gibby, Jared Price, Scott Haslam. It's from their new album. Well, their only album, their first album, Basic Complex. Thank you. That's the song Gunmetal from the band Polytype. Mason Porter, Jason Gibby, Jared Price, and Scott Haslam. Their new album is called Basic Complex. They have a number of upcoming live shows in the works. And in the meantime, you can go online and listen to their full debut album. We have links to it on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We'll take another break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Just chatting here with Polytype, Mason Porter, Jason Gibby, Jared Price, and Scott Haslam. Their debut album just came out at the beginning of this month, Basic Complex, and they're playing some songs from it for us today. Pyrite. Home comes up in Pyrite again, too. Where did Pyrite come from?
Yeah, Gunmetal and Pyrite are kind of like mirror image songs, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the idea.
It's because Gunmetal to me is kind of the... I don't know. I tried to create like a kind of a dichotomy of city and home, and you know, city kind of representing unexpected steps and things like that, and home is the familiar kind of nostalgia and things. And Gunmetal to me is kind of the strongest city song I feel, and Pyrite is the exact opposite of that. Pyrite to me is the happiest song on the record, just kind of conjuring images of familiarity and where you belong, I guess.
Yeah. One of your favorites? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's a safe assessment to say it's my favorite song on the album.
Yeah. We'll play it. Here's Polytype, Pyrite, from their album Basic Complex.
Thank you.
I love that end. Pyrite, it's the band Polytype with us. Basic Complex is the name of the new album. Mason, I'm going to get you some water. Don't worry about that. I just saw you run out. I want to take a call. We don't usually, cool. Dave's got an interesting question. 801-585-WEST is the number. Dave, welcome. Calling from Provo, I guess, of course. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me on deck.
Sure.
So, yeah, my question was, I've been following the band, and they've been doing a fantastic job. They're getting a ton of buzz on the internet right now. And just as a fan, I want to know how I can support them the best. And a part of that is financially, how I can support them. So I was wondering what they have set up where I can donate just to keep their growth going and keep them playing music.
That's so kind.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
Because we are broke.
This is one of your brothers, right? Sometimes you're
seriously.
It's a plant.
Yeah.
The best way actually is to on our website or on Bandcamp, when you go to buy our album, it's pay what you want, but there's a minimum. So you have to pay, I think, at least $10 for the physical album or $7 for the digital album. But you can pay as much as you want, and I'm not going to ask you to give us more money than $7 or $10, but that's so kind. Thank you a lot.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, that's great. You guys play great music. I mean, you're doing so well. You have so much buzz here in the States and then a lot overseas, too. It's really surprising. So.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. That's Scott speaks Danish, so that helps.
Wonder why.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is great. Dave, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
Okay, I want to get to two more pieces here, so we're going to have to sort of get through it. We'll be all right. Refract is a terrific piece. And this was another one of those ones that you did in the last weeks of the process, which really surprised me because I sort of thought, oh, this was the first thing that you did because it seems kind of, I don't know, iconic, I guess. You want to say something quickly about Refract?
I wasn't there when they wrote it, actually.
Is that right?
We just fell backwards into it, honestly. Like, we got lucky, but yeah. End up being one of our favorite songs. So.
Yeah, well, that's great. Here it is, Refract, Polytype.
Caught in different
Polytype, then the song Refract from their album Basic Complex. So at what point did you guys figure, we're in, we're going to try this, we're going to go for this as a career?
I think I'd always been entertaining the thought. I always wanted to do it, but I didn't think I thought it was just like a fairy tale type of thing. Like if you got lucky, you could do music.
Yeah.
But I think a big part of it for me was working with Nate Pfeiffer, because during the whole recording process, I think about a couple months in, he quit his day job and just started producing full time. And when I saw that, I was just like, wow, people, I guess you just have to go for it. And so that was really inspiring. And he's like, does such a good job of pumping you up. And
yeah. He made us believe in ourselves, like, not to sound too cheesy, but he really did. Like,
there were a lot of times where we were like, I don't know, Nate, and he was
Or we'd go weeks without talking to him, and we'd start to feel down, and then the second we'd see him, we'd be all pumped up again. So
yeah. It's a good quality in a producer to have.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Well, congratulations on the new album. It's really terrific. Let me mention they have some upcoming live shows in the works. Nothing yet, though. In the meantime, just go online to listen to their full debut album. It's called, again, Basic Complex. We have links to it on our website. I'll mention Radio West is a production of KUER News, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. Now, let me ask you something about Familiar Skin. This is about a familiar place, I guess. Here's a line, again, that reference to home. If I open my eyes, would I feel at home? What is that familiar skin you guys are talking about?
So this song, I was kind of just writing about how you often want to be somebody else, but or have a different life, but then you kind of look at your life and you're like, well, I got it pretty good. I don't know why I would want to go anywhere else, even though you're always trying to do something else. And so that's kind of that line about familiar skin is like you kind of don't want to be in that skin, but when you think about it, it's good skin to be in. So.
Here it is, Familiar Skin, Polytype.
Hold on, give me a second.